started. I mean, vape pens go all the way back to like 2007. It was created by the tobacco companies, who were really geniuses in the marketing field. And what they did is, because the cigarette rates and sales were way down because of all the information of how deadly they were, they had to come up with a new idea to sell their products. So they came up with this device, and they marketed it as a cessation tool to help those who are smoking to quit smoking.
Were they just targeting young people, or did that come later?
That came later, because as with even regular smoke tobacco, when many people started dying from the effects of smoking, they had to reach a different market. And who better to reach than the youth? So they started marketing tobacco even as far back as, you know, like many, many years. That's when they decided that it wasn't really being sold as, or people that were smoking really weren't using the vape pens so often. So they started targeting the youth by adding flavors, cool names, anything, colors, to attract the young people.
So my understanding is that it really took off, too, with the invention of the Juul pod, the introduction of the Juul pod, because those have only been around a little over 2 years, maybe?
Correct. And that's what happened. They came up with this Juul pod that looked really cool. It looks actually like a flash drive, and it was very hard to detect. So parents didn't know what the kids were using. The teachers didn't know what they were using. They just thought it was a flash drive. So they were able to conceal it, which was, you know, made it more attractive to youth as well, that they can get away with something. Mm-hmm. And they were using them in schools as well.
So, Juul, I know there are many different vape devices, and you've mentioned the vape pen and the flash drive for Juul, or appearance of a flash drive. So let's talk about the Juul pods a little bit, because those come pre-filled.
They're pre-filled with pure nicotine. So the problem with that is it's like they get such a hit and a high from using the Juul, and that also was something that was attracted to a lot of kids. They liked that feeling.
Well, sure.
So each Juul pod is equivalent to a pack of cigarettes, which is 20.
And is there studies that are saying how dangerous it is to have that much of a concentration of nicotine hit you at one time, or they're still looking at that?
They're still looking at that. There's not much data, but we're seeing how dangerous these devices are and these chemicals that these kids are ingesting. And not even just kids, young adults as well are using these Juul pods. But there needs to be more research, and we're just getting the actual data stats in as far as kids becoming addicted to nicotine. It's basically a whole other generation that now is addicted to nicotine, where we did so well with smoke tobacco.
So yeah. I have two comments that I'm thinking about. The first is when we think of other e-cigarette devices, you can actually control how much nicotine is in those devices to a point. But with the Juul pods, there's no control. And when I'm thinking about youth, we've decreased smoking, as you said. And so I'm sure that some of those youth would never have used a Juul had they realized they were ingesting nicotine.
And then that's the danger of using these devices. Kids really don't know what they're ingesting. A lot of them don't even realize they're getting nicotine. They feel like it's just a flavored vape juice, and that's the big attraction. The other part is there are a lot of parents who didn't understand the consequences of using these devices and were actually buying them for their kids.
Oh. Right, and I think what I understand, too, is that it's been so easy to get them in the convenience stores, the gas stations, they haven't been regulated, whereas maybe some of the smaller shops have been self-regulating. But if it's right up there with, I've seen the Juul signs in the convenience shops. It's just right there and accessible.
Yeah, the availability is there, the marketing is there, the attraction is there with the flavors. Everybody's using it. Kids are actually will sell a hit for a dollar to their friends to take a hit off their Juul. Also, we're so close in proximity to Pennsylvania where the age to purchase is 18, so many kids are going right over the border and buying the wow. Vape pens.
Yeah.
I wonder how hard it is to target the young people. Even if we have all the data that says that this is terrible for you, they're invincible, young kids. Like, this is like a double-edged sword to kind of convince young people that this is not the way to go.
But we did it with smoking.
Right. We did. I mean, it took us a long time to turn that around where you now have young children. Ooh, I wouldn't smoke. That's gross. So I don't like that. So we did really well with that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, now you have, like I said before, a new generation of youth that are addicted to nicotine. And I don't think they understood when they started the implications. Many kids that I've spoken to not only are using the Juul, but then they will to get that quick hit first, but then they'll also have a cigarette right after to, have it, the feeling last longer to mm-hmm. sustain it. So it's really scary. So
it is a gateway to cigarette smoking. It's vaping is considered, or Juuling is considered a gateway to cigarette smoking, maybe?
Again, with my background in tobacco, I feel that it definitely is. The data is still out there, but we are seeing more and more kids where they're not getting enough then from the Juul, or it becomes quite, too expensive. So some are turning to regular smoked cigarettes or using them jointly at the same time.
So at the beginning of our conversation, we touched on this a little bit, but recently I heard that Juul is owned by Altria, who also owns Marlboro cigarettes. So can we talk a little bit more about how big tobacco is actually involved in vaping?
Yeah, so big tobacco has been around for a really long time, and as I said earlier, they're geniuses in their marketing, not only marketing to youth, but marketing to adults to purchase their products. So, kids don't understand that they're using them to make money
right.
off of their health, and they want them addicted to the nicotine, because if you're addicted to it, you're going to keep purchasing it.
Sure. Yeah, and I've seen Juul TV ads now about the convenience of Juuling, how quick and easy it is to get a hit before you join family who may not approve of smoking.
And it's so often hidden, they can hide it.
Correct.
But this wasn't an ad hiding it. It was just saying, hey, this is so much easier for me than smoking. So, unfortunately, and no mention really of the nicotine. I don't know if some of those ads have gone away.
They've changed some of the ads because in the beginning they were more focused towards the youth or towards young adults, and they have since pulled back some of those ads and have now reinvented them to be more as back to a cessation tool. You're not smoking and you're not getting that smoke in your house. But we're still trying to look at the secondhand aerosol. What effects mm-hmm. does that have on somebody who's mm-hmm. not using a Juul or right. other vaping devices?
So you said the Juul pod is already full. How do they then use like another substance that would be illegal?
Let's reel it back one more step. Let's just talk about vaping marijuana or THC. How is that different from smoking? And then let's talk about exactly what Christine is asking.
So the difference between using THC in a vape device versus a smoked marijuana like a joint is really the THC levels. So if we talk about back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s, the THC levels in one joint was about 3%. Now they're around 23%. But the concentrates that are used in the vape devices can be as high as 90, 95%. So at that point, it's not even marijuana or cannabis. It's like a whole other drug.
That's pretty scary.
It's scary.
It's very scary.
And so when we hear about the severe reactions to vaping, are they typically involving marijuana? or THC?
So what they're finding, the CDC, and it's still not 100% conclusive, but what they're finding is that most of the people that have that they've tested, which is like 514 across the United States, have had THC in it. Other ingredients sometimes have that they've been talking about or are still looking into are high doses of vitamin E mixed with the THC.
The vitamin E acetate, correct?
To be honestly, I'm not 100% sure. What I've read, it was they just mentioned it as vitamin E, so that may be. But it's very disturbing because it's happening so fast.
Yes.
You know, with tobacco, it was many, many years before symptoms would arise, and people are complaining all the time. Recently, just came out last Friday, that a New Jersey woman had passed from using a vape device with THC.
So going back to the Juul pods, though, they've only been around a couple of years, and didn't they take over like 80% of the vaping market really quickly?
Really quickly. And again, that was their marketing right towards our youth.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about how they marketed toward youth? Because that's fascinating to me, with the Instagram accounts and
the flavors.
Kids.
Right?
Yeah, the flavors are really big. You know, if you're an adult, you're not going to be looking for something that has a flavor of, you know, creme brulee or fruity pebbles.
Fruity pebbles,
yes.
That's
what
it was, yeah.
Well, yes and no. I mean, sweet tooth. And people who crave sugar.
Yeah, but yeah. They marketed them
the kids,
with,
yeah.
You know, the different styles of the different mods or vaping devices. Mm-hmm. You know, Juul, like, again, I said it was like a flash drive. Some of these kids, they're coming out with clothing, like a sweatshirt. So think about the strings on a sweatshirt. They have the vaping device in there, so they just put the string in their mouth, and then they can blow it in their sleeve, so nobody sees the aerosol.
Yeah. So the attraction of being subversive, if you will, or, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's attractive to all kids that may have not even ever thought about smoking a cigarette in the past.
Right. And consequently, though, Juul shut down their advertising, and it doesn't matter because the youth are already sharing with each other plenty of
right
and photos and Instagram and so on.
And youth think they're invincible. It's not going to
right.
happen to me. I've had, you know, had a few youth tell me that they are worried, but, you know, it's not stopping them at this point.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I have three young boys myself, and it's a conversation in my house. They're 18 to 23, one of my child vapes. It's like, oh, maybe six people in the whole world. And it's like they're not even...
Well, they don't have a sense of mortality.
They're invincible.
Yet. Yeah.
And I'm like, don't you think at one time when cigarettes came out, people thought they were safe? Like, come on. And no. So it's tough. It's tough to get them to realize.
It is. It's, you know, it absolutely is hard. But, you know, we're doing some really great things here across the state and locally.
Yeah, so what are states doing to stop youth vaping?
So right now, the Governor Murphy has created this task force, and their recommendation is to ban the sale of all flavored vaping devices in the state of New Jersey. So this is brand new. It's changing daily, so that's why I have my notes here, just because it keeps changing. But that was their recommendation, and also to ban the sales through the internet. How that's going to look, I don't know. So, you know, like I said, we look at this daily. But on a local level here, the Safe Communities Coalition had partnered with Raritan Police Department to amend the tobacco policies for the for Raritan Township. It just got passed, I'm happy to say, on
Tuesday
night, where you're no longer allowed to vape in public in Raritan Township, and that includes the school. It gives the law enforcement a tool to use, such as you can incur a fine of $250, possible jail time, or community service.
So these are in areas that were already banning tobacco and cigarettes?
Yes.
I see. Yeah, so they're treating it the same as they did tobacco in their township.
Correct. There's also We have banned all vaping in parks as well as tobacco across the state of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And we've also raised the age to 21 to purchase.
Good. That's good.
It's a lot of great things going on. Let's take a quick moment to listen to our sponsors, and we'll get back and hear a couple more things.
Thank you.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care. At a moment's notice, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Welcome back to Sharing the Hope. I am a co-host, Christine Unoso, along with Jennifer Denlinger. We also have family support groups that meet in Flemington and Somerville. Our Flemington family support groups meet the first and third Wednesday evening of each month. And the Somerville family group is... they took a break for the summer, but we're just starting back on the 9th, so we will be meeting again in Somerville on Wednesday evenings. And these are groups available for all family members of loved ones who are struggling with a substance use disorder. It's a wide range of topics, and we're there to support and help each other. So let's go back now to Jerry.
Actually, I'm going to do one more commercial for our
office.
Yeah. So Jerry can talk about this too, but on Friday, October 25th, it's our annual professional fall conference offered by Prevention Resources. Jerry, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Prevention Resources and the Safe Communities Coalition of Hunterdon and Somerset County put on a professional conference each year. It's at October 25th this year at Raritan Valley Community College from 8 to 3. CEU continuing education credits are available, breakfast and lunch, and we have some really great speakers. We'll be launching our fentanyl factor film, our documentary, which is extremely important for everyone to see. We'll be talking with a ED doctor regarding the changes they're making as far as prescribing in the emergency room for pain management, how they are changing their policies, working with those that come in that have a substance use disorder, as well as prevention and treatment. So a lot of really good information. We'll be speaking about ESPERT, which is screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment, as well as marijuana and what is happening on a state level regarding opioids, fentanyl, and specifically in Hunterdon and Somerset counties.
It'll be a big day.
Big day.
Yeah. I remember last year when I attended, we actually had a speaker from the CDC here, and he was talking about vaping, and I'm thinking how the conversation about vaping has changed so dramatically in a year.
Yeah, it's frightening.
Okay, so let's go back to vaping for a few minutes. I've seen a big sign in town, "What's in your vape?" Can you tell us about that initiative?
Sure. So one of the things that the Safe Communities Coalition does is we collaborate with different partners and sectors of the community to reach a wider range of our community residents. So we talk to the Prosecutor's Office, the Chamber of Commerce, the Hunterdon Healthcare, as well as our schools, to develop one campaign with one single message that we can spread throughout the community. And that message is, "What's in your vape?" Something very simple, because we just don't know what's in the vapes today. Mm-hmm. So we created this program, and it's in a layered effect. So we have banners at all of the schools. You could see them throughout the county, as well as we have a brand new website, which is called njprevent.com/whatsinyourvape. And that's also on our website at njprevent.com. And it just has a plethora of information regarding what is a vape device, what chemicals are in there, how you can get help with resources for stopping vaping.
That's great for parents.
I was going to say it's a good resource for parents. So, yeah. And that was one of my questions, Jerry. How do parents help their children,
who know it all,
their children stop using a vape or a nicotine product if they're addicted already? Because we know we have so many youth addicted now.
And unfortunately, like every addiction, you have to be ready and willing to do the work to do that. So there are plenty of tools that are out there that can help. There actually is an app on a phone now where you can get support. There's the quit line, and you could always reach out to our office. I do tobacco cessation treatment, so we'll be happy to speak with anyone on that.
So just to recap, we can check the website, njprevent.com/whatsinyourvape.
Yep.
And or call the office, 908-782-3909.
Correct.
And ask for Jerry.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be happy to help anyone out who's interested. We're also doing some campaigns across the county with some town halls that we're planning, as well as we have a parent program on vaping, and we also have a program that we can facilitate in the schools. We've already done a few in-service programs for teachers.
So are these for the high schools, or what age group are you looking at?
High school, middle school, because they're finding that there are a lot of middle school kids that are using. The percentage is pretty high out there that they are using these devices as well.
Yeah.
So we need to get them younger.
What is the parent program that you were talking about? Is that a program right in our agency, or?
Yes, we have a What's in Your Vape program.
Okay. Where for parents
and for youth. We have two different programs. And
I know I work there, and we do so many things that we don't all know.
Yes. So it's very interactive. We'll give you all the information that we talked about here tonight.
Right. That's great.
In depth, but you know, and it gives them a chance also to ask questions.
Yeah, good to have the conversation face to face.
As well as when we do that, the parent program, we have a vape display case so they can actually see all the different devices that are out there, so they can be educated on what to look for. Mm-hmm. And that's also part of the program, you know, what you should be looking for, behavior changes.
Gotcha. So I know another collaboration in the county is One Voice, and I know they're focusing on vaping. Maybe we should talk about them for a couple minutes.
Yeah, so One Voice is another coalition that we do a lot of partnerships with, and each year what One Voice does is they pick a topic, and one weekend out of the year, they'll spread that topic through all places of worship across the county. So just think about how powerful that is. And the great reach. And this year it happens to be on vaping. It's coming up the weekend of October 18th through the 20th. And the nice thing about it is that, you know, each place of worship can put it out, the information, the way that will be best received by the parishioners.
Right. So maybe a program in the religious education program, or maybe something from the pulpit, or maybe a display.
Absolutely, in their bulletin information, and we can get them any information that they need, and we'll be happy to do any programs at any churches
I love
through
One
the
Voice.
CCD program.
So it started as a way for law enforcement to keep clergy up to date on substance use in our county, correct?
It was a like the Safe Communities Coalition. Like I said, we have different sectors, mm-hmm. and we had a trouble engaging our clergy. Mm. So we worked with the prosecutor's office and set up a meeting, and that's really how the One Voice was launched.
Yeah,
and it was part of a partnership between the prosecutor's office, Safe Coalition.
So what Christine and I do is work with family members, and to know that this is just one more place where the conversation can be normalized and people can feel that they can reach out and ask for help and less stigma.
Absolutely. I mean, it really almost gives people permission if they're sitting in that audience and having their faith leader. It's so powerful to talk. This way they can be able to approach it, and it, you know, educates the whole community, and they'll hear it a whole lot differently from their clergy than they necessarily might hear the message from myself.
Or a counselor or something, yeah.
But it's
nice that we set it up that it's the same language. We're giving them, everybody has
absolutely
the same, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud to say that my church will be participating, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's great.
Let's see.
Can we take one more moment
like a good
for
place
our
for a break.
Sponsors, and then we'll get back. Okay.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Sharing the Hope. With my name is Christine Unoso, co-host Jennifer Denlinger, and we are here with Jerry talking about a lot of great topics with vaping. I know that Jennifer has a couple of announcements,
Let me promote a couple of our activities. So on October 21st in our office in Flemington, we have a free Narcan training. And on completion of the training, you will leave with your own free Narcan kit. So that's pretty important. And actually, Christine coordinates the registration for that. So you can call Christine or email us Prevention resources, the phone number is 908-782-3909.
Is that the one run by Rutgers now?
On the 21st of October.
Because the great thing about this, too, is Rutgers will, if, God forbid, you need to use your Narcan kits, they will replace them at no charge. You just send in the card, and they will replace them.
That's
which
right.
Is great.
Right. It's a good training. Also, the day after our conference, which we mentioned, October 26th, is Take Back Day, where we can have safe disposal of our medications. And I assume on the website we have a list of all the locations.
We are gathering that list now. It gets updated frequently. Mm-hmm. So we usually have a good showing of police departments that will be available from 9 to 2 on the 26th. So you could get rid of any of your unused medications and reduce the availability.
Yeah, so that's something you can check our Facebook page for. We'll make sure we have the information there or the website at Prevention Resources. So let's move on to marijuana. And I have to tell you, I have found it very confusing. There's a lot of confusion now that we have the legalization of recreational marijuana and the potential legalization of recreational marijuana. So let's talk about this a little bit. Wherever you want to start, Jerry.
Okay. So there is a lot of confusion out there because the bills have, the legislation has changed so many times trying to get it passed. Fortunately, New Jersey has been standing strong and they keep voting against it. So where do we stand right now? Where we are right now is that there's a couple of options that are, that may happen. So after the elections in November, they have what they call lame duck sessions, where they try to pass through different types of legislation. So there's talk that they're going to try to pass a recreational marijuana legislation through at that time. If it does not pass, then it's going to go out to the vote to the public in November 2020.
Okay.
What it's going to look like, we don't know, because even if it passes, then they first have to go back and do the legislation of what it's going to look like here in New Jersey.
So what's confusing for me, too, and I think a lot of people, is we run into trouble with alcohol, which is legal. We run into trouble with tobacco that is legal. We run into trouble with marijuana, which may be legal in New Jersey soon. But marijuana today, as you mentioned earlier, is not the same marijuana from 30 years ago.
Correct. It's much more potent and stronger, and it's dangerous. And it's not regulated, so you don't know what's in it. Is there pesticides in it? Is there mold in it? These are some of the things that they have found in other states that have passed recreational marijuana already.
And can you tell us a little bit about the physical effects of marijuana that maybe we
short
just don't
term,
think about
term,
it. Yeah.
So, especially with our youth using marijuana, anytime you introduce any drug to a developing brain, it increases the chances of becoming addicted to not only that drug, but other drugs as well, including alcohol, tobacco, and as we know, opioids. We're in this opioid epidemic here. So introducing and legalizing another drug, I just don't see how that's going to work. Many towns think they're going to get an influx of tax dollars, but with the impacts of the social costs, like treatment, increased law enforcement, ED visits, really is not the same. So it's profits over people is how they're kind of looking at it, and I think that's really sad.
And driving under the influence, all of that is... So if it is legalized recreationally, it won't be regulated at all?
We don't know how it's going to, what it's going to look like yet, how the legislation will be laid out. So that's something that we're following very closely and watching. To see how that will happen.
They don't even know.
No. Some of our towns here have already passed ordinances not to have a dispensary in their town. And there was at one point legislation that said that if it passes recreationally, those will be null and void. However, they can go and the township committees can go back in and pass them again.
Yeah, it is confusing, and I think what is a frightening factor about it, though, is the marketing, again, towards youth.
Absolutely.
With the edibles. Can you address that a bit?
Yeah, and that's one of the really scary things are the edibles. The most popular one that you hear about are the gummy bears that look exactly like candy gummy bears. So there's been a huge increase in the amount of young children and even pets that have gone to the emergency room because they've ingested these drugs. Mm-hmm. They're also finding with adults because it metabolizes, edibles metabolize differently than smoked marijuana. You typically don't feel the effects till about a half hour after you have eaten the product. And what's happening is that people are saying, well, this isn't doing anything for me, so they ingest more and they end up actually overdosing on the THC. And
what does that look like? A lot of people think, oh, you can't overdose on marijuana. You can't, you know, what does it look like, an overdose?
Shallow breathing.
Respiratory. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think we've had some high schoolers who have run into trouble with that locally.
And again, that was through the vaping.
Oh, that was through vaping.
Where they've, I think there was three that OD'd on the THC, and one had to even be medevaced. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, they're
okay. Through vaping. Mm-hmm. But that's where I was a little confused. Through juuling as well or no? Can you buy a pod that goes to the juul? No.
There is some talk that there are pods out there that are filled with marijuana. There's also other devices that do have THC-filled marijuana.
Okay, because the Juul's already filled the pods, right?
Well, but that's with the nicotine.
It's already filled. But so they can buy other things and use that.
There's talk that there's a different Juul product that you can use for with a marijuana pod, but I don't have confirmation on that.
Okay.
But there are different types of devices where you can actually buy a marijuana pod, or you can put the marijuana oil, or the dabs, they call it, into that. And that's, again, has like 90% THC, so it's really dangerous.
Mm. Yeah. So, Jerry, you've devoted years to the field of prevention and cessation. What have been some of your biggest challenges in your career in this field?
I think some of the barriers that, you know, have been in this field are, you know, again, you're working with youth whose brains aren't fully developed, thinking nothing's going to happen to them. The last part of their brain is the frontal cortex, which is your decision making. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I hear parents say, you know, why, what were they thinking? Well, they weren't thinking. They don't have the capability.
Right.
So that's why parents are truly, truly important. We also have a campaign called Parents Hold the Key. Mm-hmm. And we need the conversations to start at a younger age and to continue all the way through.
Right. There is that mindset that if I don't talk about it, I won't introduce these ideas in my children's head. So I don't want to talk about it. But we know that that's just not the case.
Especially today with social media and the access that they have to YouTube, mm-hmm. the internet. Those are things that when I was younger, we didn't have that access to it.
Immediate
access and availability. It's easy to get pretty much anything over the internet that you want. A lot of times they'll ask you, what's your age? Well, you could put down that you're 25 and you're really 14. Mm-hmm. Parental controls really are helpful. Keeping that, you know, starting the conversations younger and, you know, keeping the conversations going will help reduce, you know, substance use with our youth.
I think Hunterdon County and Somerset County are very lucky to have this agency and the kind of collaborative work that you've been doing for so long and getting all sorts of people involved.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's so important, too, that everyone's involved because I think my mic is going too small. Because I know just talking, like parents just talking to kids, sometimes they don't want to hear from their parents. So they're hearing it from clergy. They're hearing it from school. They're hearing it from counselors. Like if we all have that message, maybe we'll get somewhere, you know?
Absolutely. It's that common message that's layered throughout and hopefully, you know, everyone gets a clear understanding of how addicting these drugs are and how dangerous, including alcohol.
Yeah. So in our office, we have youth programs. We have youth who are educating youth.
Yes, we have a youth coalition, which is, they're fantastic. We just recently took two of our youth to a CATCA conference, which is Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America, and they learned all the things that we do, looking at data, looking at local conditions, and how do we address those local conditions that are with sustainable outcomes and measures. So we're really very proud of our youth, and they're actually going to do peer-to-peer training with other members of the Youth Coalition on this method and model, which is the Strategic Prevention Framework, as well as they do peer-to-peer with vaping. They've been going to a lot of working with other youth, teaching them about the harms of vaping.
And that can be really hard for a teenager to be maybe maintaining an unpopular view. So to feel the support from you and all these other places to go to a professional conference, that would have been very exciting.
And give them that strength, you know, that strength that they have to feel confident.
Yep, empowerment. Yeah. It's all about that, and give them that, like you said, that confidence to be able to stand up for what they believe in. And once other people see that, they'll realize, you know, that that's not such a bad thing to do the right thing.
So how do you keep going in this field? Because honestly, it can be a little depressing and overwhelming. Maybe not depressing sometimes, but overwhelming that there's this tide of whatever is hitting our communities next, and yet you're out there fighting the fight. So how do you keep going with that?
It's just so important, and I always feel that when I first started very early on, you know, it was actually more difficult because you felt like, you know, you just did this presentation and they didn't reach. And one day a student came up to me and said, you know, thank you so much. My parent has an issue with marijuana, and you really helped a lot. So from that day forward, if I could just reach one person and make a change in one person's life,
right,
I did my job.
Right. So maybe you were there for that one person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so awesome.
So tell us some of the satisfactions of your work then. That would be an example.
Yeah, that's certainly an example. Passing of the ordinance was really exciting. Hopefully other towns and municipalities in Hunterdon County will do the same and take value into our youth. And, you know, our youth are our future. And I think that's what keeps me going as well, because we want productive citizens. And if people are normalizing drugs like vaping and the nicotine that are not regulated, and recreational marijuana, which does not have dosages of the amount that you can take, and we don't know what's in it, what other chemicals could be in it. That's what keeps me going, is to hopefully just keep people safe and make healthy choices.
So we haven't talked about other chemicals added to marijuana. But you mentioned the fentanyl factor, which is our video coming out soon at the conference. What about other chemicals that show up in marijuana?
Now, fentanyl's in so many things, but is it showing up in marijuana as well? Or?
We have not seen that, mm-hmm. And that was a lot of controversy because there was talk that there was heroin or fentanyl in marijuana, mm-hmm. But that was proven not true. So we haven't seen that yet, but it wouldn't surprise me that they're going to come up with something that they can put into these vape devices or in marijuana or in other things. So anything that's smoked has carcinogens, and it emits that emits a flame, and they're all chemicals that are not meant to be in your lungs. So anytime you introduce that into your lungs, it's very dangerous, mm-hmm. And carcinogens are the cancer-causing chemicals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe this would be a good time for one more break.
Let's listen to our sponsors real quick, and I think this would be our last break, and then we'll get back.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Unoso here with Jennifer Denlinger and Jerry, and we're talking about a lot of great topics. I just want to let you know that, of course, as family support coordinators, Jennifer and I, you could reach out to us on our website, on Sharing the Hope website, on Prevention Resources website, and then we're here every Tuesday, every Thursday at 5. And if you do view us on Facebook, if you like our show and you click like, it sure does help. And any comments, anything that you have for us to think about for our next topics is always helpful as well.
Okay, so let's talk about a couple other things coming up at Prevention Resources. Jerry, October 9th, we have an opioid forum of some sort.
It's an opioid town hall with Partnership for Drug-Free New Jersey, Hunterdon Healthcare, and some other folks that'll be on a panel. Our Leslie Gable, the co-CEO of Prevention Resources, will be on that panel. So we'd love to see folks come out. It's from 7 to 9 at the Medical Center.
Do they need to pre-register for that, or is that just an open attendance?
I believe it's an open attendance, but I believe you could also register.
Okay.
But the doors will be open to everyone, and you can find out more information on njprevent.com, which is our website.
We can also share it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah.
We also have a fundraiser coming up for our agency, Prevention Resources, which is the Farm to Fork. It is on Tuesday, October 8th, from 6 to 8 at Unionville Winery. It is so much fun, and I'm not just saying that because I work for Prevention Resources, but it's a really good time, a great time to come out and celebrate. We will have a band, and there's a food tasting as well as a wine tasting. We also will have a
silent auction.
Silent auction. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. A silent auction of really some great baskets. So we'd love to see you there. So come on out, and you could register also on our website, njprevent.com.
Can you just show up and pay, or do you have to register?
You could pay at the door.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
$75 at the door, $65 if you register online.
So Christine and I are going for the first time this year, but our office is overflowing with baskets for the silent auction.
Yeah, this is the thing right now. So this
is the thing.
This will be both of us this year. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're going to have a blast, and there's some really great baskets. So come on out. It's a fun night.
Yeah. That's coming Tuesday. So I'm wondering if there's anything that we missed today, Jerry, that you would like to talk about.
Yeah, just for any information on the Safe Communities Coalition that you're looking for, please reach out to our office or go to our website, safecoalition.org. There's plenty of parent information on there. There's we have three documentaries. Two are out. One is in a split second, which talks about the consequences of split second decisions, such as drunk driving, using pain pills. And then our second one is Pills to Heroin, which really shows how quickly people had become addicted to heroin after using prescription pain pills or opioids like Percocet, Vicodin.
Right.
Yeah. Etc.
It's a very powerful video also.
Yeah, and we just try to hope that the message is to encourage people to clean out their medicine cabinets of unwanted drugs, because 70% of those who are substance abuse users get them from family, friends, medicine cabinets. So you really want to clean out your medicine cabinets, reduce that availability. And again, DEA Take Back Day is on October 26th from 9 to 2. Check our website for location. And we also have throughout the county, I believe it's 11 now, permanent prescription drop-off boxes. So there you can clean out your medicine cabinets any time of the year. They're open 24 hours.
Something people don't even think about is that old script sitting there. But why wouldn't somebody just flush it down the toilet?
The reason why you don't want to flush it down the toilet is because you don't want to harm the environment. The best way to do it is to dispose of them. They have little kits, too, now that you can purchase. And they dissolve the medications. Worst comes to worst, if you can't get out, you can put it in kitty litter or in coffee grounds because you want to make it undesirable for somebody to take out of the garbage. We also have a take-back day twice a month at the senior center. Our seniors are at risk of potentially becoming addicted to these pain medications, and mainly that is due because they are prescribed more often, as well as...
In the older community, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And the senior center is in Flemington?
The senior center is in Flemington, and the sheriff comes out twice a month to do that, and... If you can't get out, if you call the sheriff, they'll actually come to your home and safely dispose of your medications. That also reminds me that we do have a program called Alternatives to Pain Management for the Older Adult Population. If you're interested, you can call our office, and we'll be happy to come out and present to your senior community center or senior center, or even if you have your senior population in your places of worship, we'll be happy to come and do a presentation.
There is so much going on in that office.
I know, it's hard to keep I've only been there, 6 months now, and I'm still figuring out what everybody's doing. We have so many projects going on. It's just a wonderful agency, the outreach and the concern for the community is just wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good energy.
And just as, Jennifer and I as peer partners in a sense, when we're working with other families and you're talking about the peer, adolescents, it just sparks an interest because peer-to-peer is amazing.
Yeah, they actually, they just have the right language. They have the right way to approach their peers. And, it was interesting. We did a survey many years ago and interviewed the kids. Where do you get most of your information? From my parents. Who do you believe the most? My friends.
My friends.
So it's truly...
scary.
Scary. So they do hear peer-to-peer. So if they get that right message, it's very powerful.
That's wonderful.
Some of the other things, if I could just quickly say, if you're interested in joining the Safe Communities Coalition, we meet once a month, every second Thursday at the United Way Volunteer Center from 9 o'clock to 10:15. So again, if you're interested, call our office. We'll be happy to send you more information.
So let's just go over one more time what that group does.
Okay, so the Safe Communities Coalition basically works on collaboration within the community on reducing substance misuse, and we do that through what we call environmental strategies or change, which are sustainable and measurable. So a good example of that, since we're talking a lot about tobacco today, was the Clean Air Act, the Smoke-Free Clean Air Act of 2006,
okay.
Where that's when it stopped, where you were able to smoke on airplanes, smoke in restaurants, business offices. So it all changed to reduce the effects of secondhand smoke.
That was only in 2006?
Back in 2006.
It seems like way back when.
Yeah.
What I mean?
It's our normal now.
Yeah, it's our normal now. So it's interesting to hear kids when they, why does it have the no smoking sign in an airplane? And it's like, well, back in the day, you were allowed to smoke on a plane.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so people can get involved on many different levels.
Many different levels. We do prevention education in the schools all the way from second grade through our senior population, through high school, our community events. We do town halls.
It sounds like anybody who's involved with a group of their own here in Hunterdon County or Somerset County can reach out to you.
Absolutely.
And have a program.
Absolutely.
So what could be easier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, nice. Just a phone call away.
It's awesome. So again, it's 908-782-3909.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so we do have to start wrapping it up. So let's go back to how we could be reached. So it's
908-782-3909 is the office.
And then we have preventionresources.com.
NJPrevent.com.
NJPrevent.com. Okay. Right. And then, of course, Jennifer and I, family support coordinators, can be reached at that number, and we are here to reach out to families with loved ones with substance use disorder. We will meet with families at their convenience, whether it's a text or phone call, a coffee shop. We'll go to a meeting. We have our meetings. So, you know, it's kind of how it works individually that we are there to support other families. And again, if you like us on Facebook, we can use your comments and look for guests in the future. So thank you so much for bringing us so much information.
Thank you, Jerry.
Really, of course.
Great.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You are a great resource.
Thank you so much. And you guys do fantastic work as well. Thank
well,
you.
Thank you.
See you next week. What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is signing an executive order on Thursday titled Protecting Medicare from Socialist Destruction. Speaking in Florida, the president says the Trump administration will continue to help senior citizens.
Stop at nothing to deliver better health care for you and for your family. I will never let you down. You have been incredible to me, and I will never, ever forget you. I will never let you down. I promise that.
Vice President Mike Pence is talking about international trade in Arizona. He was joined by Senator Martha McSally and Governor Doug Ducey this morning, taking part in a roundtable discussion with Hispanic business leaders in Scottsdale. The vice president says the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement has to be passed this year.
President Trump and I are absolutely determined to call on this Congress to bring the USMCA to the floor and bring it to the floor this year.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Today is the 22nd International Walk and Bike to School Day. Cities across the nation and in dozens of other countries will be encouraging kids to use their bicycles or foot power instead of buses and carpools. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin is encouraging Kentucky students to participate in tomorrow's observance of Bring Your Bible to School Day. He tweeted a video out yesterday saying the Judeo-Christian principles within the Bible are timeless and provide knowledge, wisdom, and guidance.
Young people from kindergarten all the way through college age will be bringing their Bibles to school. And I would encourage you, please, don't just bring your Bible to school, but read your Bible. Bring it, share it with others.
Johnson & Johnson is settling a multi-million dollar lawsuit with two Ohio counties over its role in the opioid epidemic. The drug maker is going to pay more than $20 million to Cuyahoga and Summit counties. The settlement removes Johnson & Johnson from an upcoming lawsuit later this month against several other opioid-producing companies. And Beyoncé's father is getting the word out about men and breast cancer. Matthew Knowles has been diagnosed with it. The 67-year-old Knowles helped propel his daughter Beyoncé to fame, managing her early career as part of the group Destiny's Child. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.